You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Did you know there's a place in Folsom where you can visit nesting bald eagles, or that rice fields in our backyard are home to thousands of nutritious water bugs that feed baby salmon? CAP Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaida has a new series, and it's focusing on Sacramento's diverse environment and wildlife, and she's bringing you along for the ride. She joins us today to tell us more about her series called Rewilding Sacramento. Manola, welcome to Insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Short trip from the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the series that you've done so far is awesome. I mean, I love bald eagles, I love salmon, and it's great to just learn about what's in our backyard because life is so busy. It's easy to like really not know about that or have it pass you by. So you share two stories that have really brought us into nature with you, the birds chirping, the bees buzzing. How did this series come about?
Yeah, so it's like you said, it's always fun for me when I get to learn a little bit about what's right here in our backyard in the Sacramento region. And I'm always interested in general about connecting people that live here to the place that they live in. So for this series, you know, I was thinking about the fact that, yes, we have Tahoe, Redwoods, Yosemite. Those are really obvious places to interact with the environment that are close ish by. But even closer than that, there's some pretty cool stuff, too. So basically, with this series, I wanted to get people, including myself, a little bit more informed about, you know, what's like within an hour's distance from around here, what's going on here, maybe looking into wildlife or plant species that people already know a little bit about, but kind of digging into what makes them special here in our region. And then also a really important part for me was connecting people to those animals or that wildlife or environment in a very specific way. So, you know, not just learning, but also how can they go out into the world and interact with that thing that they just learned about. So, yeah, this is kind of a series focusing on people that can help introduce Sacramentans to exactly that. So with those first couple pieces in that series, I was looking at people that are living locally or working locally that can tell me a little bit more about a specific animal that they have more expertise in for, you know, different reasons.
Nice. So, yeah, it's not just knowing about things in our backyard, but having a relationship with it because
exactly.
You're more inclined to care about it more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that engagement is key. So the eagle piece, the bald eagle piece, was your first interview. So tell us about this story and who you talked to.
Yeah, I was really excited about this story. I knew that in general, you know, eagles have this calendar where they lay eggs around a certain time and then people can kind of follow them along that journey. So I was looking around for someone who could kind of introduce us to that locally. And that's how I found Kathy Kaner, who is so amazing. She's monitored an eagle nest by Lake Natoma in Folsom since 2017 as a volunteer for the Bureau of Land Reclamation. And she just talked to me about how she's such a huge fan of bald eagles in general. And I had this really great opportunity to go out with her early one morning in January to go spot the eagles that she monitors at their nest, or at least attempt to. I guess it's important to say we didn't get to see the eagle couple, unfortunately, at the nest. Usually around that time of year, they're just kind of roaming around. They haven't laid their eggs yet, so they're not tied to the nest yet. But we did see a juvenile eagle, so just a young eagle, which we know it's a juvenile because it doesn't have a white head. I learned that actually from Kathy that eagles develop that white head about 5 years into their development. And yeah, here's some audio from that moment when we saw that baby eagle and Kathy's explanation and how she can tell the eagle couple apart.
It was not mama or papa because it did not have a white head or a white tail. So it could be last year's juvenile or a strange one. But this is the time of year that they show up. Mama could be setting on her eggs and one of her offspring, possible offspring, come fly by. They don't attack. They just want to, hey, hi, nice to see you. And the mom just screams at them. Papa comes in. He screams at them. They're not allowed to go into the nest. This is no longer their home. They make that very clear to them.
So you're telling me that this is the same couple of bald eagles that have been sitting at this nest for years?
Since 2017, yes.
Yeah. How old are they?
It is difficult to age them because they kind of look the same throughout most of their lives. Other people that have been out here before I was have said that she's possibly older and he's a little bit younger. But unless you do a blood test or something, I don't know how you can tell, because they both have white heads. They both have white tails. The only difference to tell who's male, who's female, is Mama's bigger. If they're together, Mama's bigger. And then I look at the mouth line. If it goes past the eye, it's Mama. If it stops right under the eye, it's Papa.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's kind of like, hey, you turned 18, you're out of the house, you can't come back.
Yeah, I love that. So she's so familiar with them that, I mean, not only can she notice those little details like the mouth line and, you know, the size difference between the mom and the dad, but also, yeah, she was really good at explaining their relationship with their kids from previous years, and just has had all these years to really witness how they interact as this kind of like, you know, Eagle family together. And it was such a beautiful morning. I mean, you can hear in the back of the audio all these birds chirping because there were so many animals that were out. And yeah, seeing the nest and being told that story from her perspective was really amazing. She's known them for so many years, and she kind of got to tell me the whole family drama of this family, which it sounded almost like talking about a human family. She told me that the mom eagle picked this tree out for herself around 2016. She had a prior mate who had died before that. They had a nest in a different tree that had toppled over. And then the mama eagle got together with her second eagle, you know, husband that she's still with today. It's a whole thing. It's a whole story. And then, since the, you know, tree she's been in and since Kathy started watching them, Kathy has seen 19 eaglets hatch from that tree.
Wow.
So, yeah, a very successful couple. And she told me that over the years, she's learned about how they work and about how nature in general works from them.
I have been here for hours, and just watching them and learning. And one of the biggest things, once her babies hatch, probably about a month after they hatch, tough love kicks in. And people will say to me, well, they're always hungry, they're screaming. Why don't they keep bringing more food? I said, she's trying to teach them something. They have to learn hunger. They have to know what hunger feels like. And I said, you have to also remember, she's not trying to raise polite eagles. Because nature is not polite. Nature is tough, and she teaches them to be tough. And so when they have two or three full grown, I mean, by the time the end of April, first part of May, they're full grown. All, you know, she has two or three in there, they're all screaming. They see one fish come in. They drop off the fish, get out, and then they fight for it. They have to learn how to fight. They have to learn to take it and just go with it. And take it away. I'm going to eat this. No, I want that. So they have to learn how to be rude. I hate to say it that way, but that's how it is. This is just because nature is not nice.
Yeah. So, you know, even like lessons like that, I think she mentioned it's kind of important to, you know, understand the story of this eagle family, you know, tell that story. There's still a lot we can relate to in the way that they operate, but also there's a way that animals in nature have to operate differently than, you know, humans do. I mean, she even said that she doesn't name the eagles for that reason, to kind of keep up that understanding to the people that she talks to about these eagles and really make that distinction clear. And yeah, she was just a really great example of the exact kind of person I want to talk to in the series, which is someone who can bring a lot of excitement and information to, you know, a really well-known animal like this.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the lessons that the mama eagles teaching the baby eagles, I think, are life lessons that anyone can learn as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually are applicable to humans. I remember seeing a bald eagle nest on a story out in El Dorado County, and it being so far away, and we had to, you know, have a telescope, but it was incredible to actually see, you know, these baby eagles and these juvenile eagles. Here, though, in Folsom, near Lake Natoma, it is more accessible.
Way more.
So where can people see these eagles?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I can kind of describe exactly where they're at. So if you look at the piece online, I give the location. And also online is the full interview with Kathy. But yes, it's, you can actually drive up to it. It's like on, when I drove up, I drove through a neighborhood. And then there's this little pathway. And there's like a kind of like a fence where there's like a little pathway and then it drops off into the water. And there's a fence between obviously the pathway and the water. And just beyond that fence, just a little bit, you can see the nest very clearly. So it's a perfect spot. There's even like a little sign of like stand here and like look in this direction for it. And so, yeah, even though I didn't get to see them during this past visit, I'm definitely planning on going back, checking in on, you know, where they're at. And from what Kathy told me, it's just going to get easier and easier to see them. So also for an added little clarity, Kathy goes there regularly, not just to monitor them, but also answers questions to people that are visiting. And she's going to be doing that, you know, in coming months, since these eaglets are eventually going to hatch and keep developing. And she told me, she gave me an update last week. She told me that the mom has laid 3 eggs and that they're supposed to be hatching the week of March 16th.
Oh, soon.
So very soon. Yes, exactly. So this is all perfect timing. And then she also gave me a little bit of information about the best days to go out, because even though they're hatching around that day, you know, what can you really see? So here's the text. She says, first, yes, it's very exciting, with an intentional pun.
Very cute.
She says she'll be there on Sunday the 16th, Friday the 21st, and Sunday the 23rd. And then she says, and I'll just read it, but it is important to know the eaglets are going to be very tiny and we will not be able to see them poking their heads up for about 2 weeks. I would suggest that people come out on Easter Sunday, or they can come out after Easter on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, which are my regular days to be out there. She's out there from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. And then on Easter, Mother's Day, and Memorial Day, she says, I'm out there from 8:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. and we'll have docents to help me, as those are very popular days for guests to come out. So yes, basically there will be plenty of opportunities to go out there, maybe even meet Kathy yourself, and learn about these eagles. And then I guess the last thing I'll say is that there's also a webcam, also linked on the story online, that you can find, that's right on the nest. So you'll be able to see if they're there that morning if you want to check before even going out. Obviously, they move around, so no promises. But yeah, there's a way to even check online too what they're doing and if they're at the nest.
Yeah, I might just do it if I want to take a break from work and be like, oh, yeah, I see what the eagles are up to from my desktop. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and I'm talking with Cap Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaida about her new series, Rewilding Sacramento, designed to help you connect with our natural environment in a fun way. Okay, so the second part of the series, you went out into the floodplains that surround Sacramento to visit salmon researchers. So what brought you to this? Rice and salmon.
Yes. So generally, salmon, you know, are well beloved in California, have long existed and migrated through the Sacramento region. They're an iconic species that, for many reasons, are struggling right now. A lot of it has to do with human development that's impacted how rivers operate. So people are looking for solutions to this issue, and it's complicated. And sometimes those solutions include human intervention because of the way that humans have also changed this environment. So I spoke with Jennifer Kronk. She's a cow trout researcher who's looking into how water flushed out from Sacramento area rice fields into the Sacramento River can help young salmon, which are called fry, thrive just a little bit better. And she's specifically looking at winter run Chinook salmon. So before I get into that, I'll let Jennifer explain how salmon in Sacramento River used to live and what got them into the situation that they're in now. And that starts with what salmon life looked like before the region was developed into what it looks like today.
So when the winter rains came, it filled up the Sacramento River. It spilled over into the floodplains, and that provided a lot of this slow moving water, shallow, lots of bugs are produced out there. So the fish kind of got to get off the highway, so to speak, and go out there, eat a whole bunch, you know, be safe from predators and not have to expend as much energy in the cold, fast river. And just hang out in the floodplains, eat, get fat, and then once they're happy, they jump back on the highway, go off into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it used to be like when they had that option, because before we had levees and dams, this water just flowed freely and salmon got to follow where that water flowed. But since the development of the Sacramento region, that's pretty much changed everything for the salmon.
When they're coming up to spawn, you know, we put a dam in, now they can't get back up to where their like home stream is. Or even putting dams and redirecting water I don't know if you know this about salmon, but they are pretty much imprinted on where they are born, where they hatch. And so they go out to the ocean, and then they have this natural instinct where they're like, they can smell basically where they need to go. And they just follow their nose and they go back up to the stream where they were reared. So when we redirect water flow or shut off water flow or lessen water flow, that really screws with their kind of internal homing device. And so they either go to the wrong place or they don't even know where to go at all. So a lot of salmon aren't even making it up to the point where they need to spawn. And so if they can't get up there, they either just spawn in a place that there's no other salmon to fertilize those eggs, or it's in a place that's not ideal for those eggs to be, and they'll just get washed away. Or they just die before they even have a chance to spawn. So that's kind of like the first impact that we've had. And then, all right, say these salmon get up there, they lay their eggs, they get fertilized, they hatch, they survive. Now they gotta make it back down. And then, so that's what I was talking about with the levees, is that now they're on their journey down and they have just so few opportunities to be able to get fat and strong and big, to be able to make that long journey out back to the ocean, with Chinook salmon specifically, that the survival rate of the salmon fry going out is significantly reduced.
And that's where her research comes in. So she's researching how farmers might actually be able to flush out the flooding they do naturally. They have to do this already to prep their rice fields for growth in the future, how they can flush that water out at specific times of the year where all the zooplankton, those water bugs that baby salmon need to grow, can be flushed out into the river when they're migrating and really help them thrive.
Yeah, it's nutritious food, and it's also rectifying a reality that we live in a floodplain. As a result, we have infrastructure to protect humans that's impacted salmon, and now rice fields can actually be this nutritious source to help fry actually grow and survive and come back to spawn and continue that cycle.
Exactly.
So the eagles, the salmon, awesome. First two pieces from you, Manola. What do you hope listeners take away from this new series?
Yeah, this is something that I know I get on every time I'm talking about, like, what I want this work to do. But basically, you know, it's like you said at the beginning, in order to take care of the environment, we have to care about the environment. And that means knowing the environment. I always go back to this book, Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, where she talks about looking at the environment through an indigenous lens, which also includes looking at the environment as your neighbor, as your relative. And how do you care about something you don't know the name of, you don't know, aren't familiar with? You got to know it like a neighbor. So basically through this series, I'm hoping that I can invite people to start knowing the environment and the species that live right here as their neighbors and kind of form their own relationships, just like the people I talk to have their own unique relationships with that wildlife.
And I wouldn't be surprised if listeners now reach out to you with some pitches.
Yeah, definitely, which I'm very open to. Anyone can reach out to me on, you know, the contact form we have online. Basically, all I'm looking for is something kind of local and something that people can interact with in some way, you know, go out and see themselves.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Manola.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is CAP Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaita sharing her new series, Rewilding Sacramento, designed to help listeners and people connect with our local environment in a fun way. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.